This is a first for me using this thing. So let's hope I can keep it on my head. Is there any chance of getting the Bible passage up? Well, just a minute. And let's just pray, shall we? Let's just bring these things to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can share together, and we can look around your word. I just pray that everything that I say comes from you and not me, that your greatness, your glory, your power might be all. And as we think on these words, we just think about people who aren't with us today. Just bring them to you now, in the silence of our hearts. And also we just pray a blessing on Wayne as he's away teaching and preaching, bring him back safely. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. So, last week, we had a week off from sermons on our text for the year, stepping out in faith. This week we're back on it, and we're going to have a look through the passage that I read from Matthew. So it's not Hebrews. It's a bit on Matthew. Before we start, I just wanted to get my thoughts around what the three main words on our text were. So we're going to have a bit of an English lesson. Apologies to anybody who's a teacher out here. So the three words, step, out, and faith. So when I read the English dictionary, step. Do you know step is a verb? And so that means it's a doing word. So it means progress in some direction or action. So it's doing something. And out, I'm not going to talk about cricket, but it's another verb, and it's a doing word, and it's sort of away from, not in this place, not at a place. Okay. And then faith, which I thought was quite good. It says reliance, trust, belief founded on authority. So I didn't think that was too bad for the dictionary. So in thinking around this passage, or these words, one passage wouldn't leave my thoughts, and I think it covers all aspects of our text. I don't particularly find this an easy passage, but nevertheless, I think there's some really good things to be learnt from talking around the events. So let's go through them. Yeah, our story takes place just after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus had tried to find some solace after hearing about the death of his friend John the Baptist, who was beheaded at the request of some young lady. He wanted to be alone in his grief, but the crowds, they'd found out where he was, and they followed him, giving him no respite. So he was trying to get away, and the crowds followed him. There was no annoyance, as we read the passage from Jesus. We're told that he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick, and they were with him for quite a bit of time, and he must have been instructing them. There was no food save the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and you know it's a very famous story, and you'll remember there was enough to satisfy them with plenty to spare. That's a sermon in itself, but not for today. We start off in verse 22, and we see that as soon as the people had been fed, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat ahead of him whilst he dismissed the crowd. Now, I wonder why Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. I wonder what he had to say to the crowd that he didn't want the disciples to hear. Or maybe it was the only way that he could get some time alone. After all, that's what he was trying to get in the first place, wasn't it? When finally he managed to get the crowds to leave, and as it was getting towards evening, he went up into the mountainside to pray. Even Jesus needed time to spend in prayer to God. And his actions are appointed to us in our prayer life. Four elements to his sort of his time with God. First of all, it was retirement from the world. He got away from it all, didn't he? Even those closest to him, he made them get into the boat. So he was away from it all. As he was away from it all, he was able to concentrate. And I guess elevation to the heart and mind of God in that period of time. He was on his own. He was solitude. There was no distractions. No distractions whatsoever. No people coming in asking to do some things. And then finally, there was the silence in the quiet of the night, giving an opportunity to pray. I was up at 6 o'clock this morning. Can't tell you why I was woken up and why I had to get up. But, first thing in the morning when the birds are chirping away, it's a beautiful time, isn't it? The sun coming through the trees. And it's nice and quiet. You can just sit, think. And as I was doing today, just going through the thoughts of what I was going to talk about later on today. It is amazing, though, how much easier it is to prepare and pray for these services when nobody else is around, normally later on in the evening. And then from this tranquil scene, we move to a sort of a stormy one. And it's about the fourth watch of the night. And if I know my sort of history right, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. So if you think about it, Jesus had been spending maybe 3 to 6 hours in prayer. You know, I'm not going to embarrass myself, telling you how long I spend in prayer. But, Jesus spent this time and he felt he needed to. I don't know if you've been on Wayne's prayer days. I came along for one, thought I'd give it a go. At the end of the day, I was physically tired. I think prayer needs practice, doesn't it? So let's imagine the scene, shall we? The boat tossed around by the waves. The sailors tired by the rowing against the wind. It was dark, late at night. Then they see this figure walking towards them on the water. They didn't recognize him. They were afraid, well, terrified, the text tells us. I don't know about you, but, I've never seen anyone walking on the water. But if I did, what would my reactions be? Notice that Jesus recognized their fear, and he immediately comes up quite a lot in this text. He seeks to calm their nerves by offering encouragement. Not only in this text, I've noticed that Jesus frequently urged his disciples not to be afraid in times when supernatural events were taking place. If you read the accounts of the Transfiguration and the Resurrection, you'll read about Jesus trying to calm his disciples from their fear. We're all human, and we're frail emotions, prone to fear and fret and worry. But note the immediacy of Jesus' reaction and his continued encouragement. Throughout the four Gospels have this story of Jesus walking on the water. Only Matthew talks about the next verse and the events surrounding Peter. in a sense, you can believe the differences in stories. There was a lot going on, and maybe the disciples were concentrating on fighting the waves as opposed to what Peter was getting up to. And I think Peter says something which is a little odd. In verse 28, he says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." When I was a younger man, even though I'm quite young already, I was involved in an amateur dramatic troupe, AmDram, as we like to say in the trade. And we used to go up and down the country putting on performances, one of which was on the Isle of Man. I didn't do any acting, but I just did the music. And we took the ferry from Liverpool on an Easter weekend over to the Isle of Man. Well, it was a bit choppy when we left. Well, when we got into the middle of the Irish Sea, it was a 4th-9 gale. I was fearing for my life, and, you know, the last thing in my mind would be to get out of the boat. If you think about it, it's the opposite of what we'd normally do, isn't it? We would try to get the person in the sea, out of the sea, into the boat, not the other way around. But Jesus says, come. It had to be Peter, didn't it? Hey? Up and at him, always in scrapes, in the forefront of everything going on. No wonder Jesus wanted him to build his church on him. But remember, there was 11 other blokes staying in the boat, keeping out of the way. What faith. What faith. Peter believed that Jesus could do it and stepped out. And in that one moment, our text, Jesus calling and a step of faith. You notice there was desire and encouragement. Desire on the part of Peter, encouragement on the part of Jesus. Come. Jesus bade him come. Just one word. One word. It wasn't, "All right, Peter, get out of the boat if you want. You know, you might get a bit wet. You might be able to get to me. You might not. But, you know, listen to me. You can do this, do that, that." No. It's just one word. I'm not sure how it would have been spoken. You know, we're in the middle of the sea. It's noisy. There's a lot of things going on. But whatever way, what power? But what does it say? It says we're not on our own. This stepping out in faith isn't just some random steps here and there. No, Jesus should be calling us through and leading us on. Peter was going towards the Lord not for his own glory, but to show Jesus' power. What impact this story has? What impact? You know, if I said to Gemma, come over here and shake my hand. You'd think, well, that's easy, isn't it? Doesn't have quite the same impact as you're on the water. Listen, I can do easy. I can also do incredibly hard. In verse 30, we then see the power of Christ and our weakness. Peter took his eyes off Jesus to the wind and waves and started to sink. But when he called to him, he stretched out his arm and saved him. That saving was immediate. It had to be really, because Peter would have drowned, wouldn't he? What strength. When difficulties come our way, where do we look? Round about us or straight ahead? You might have seen me do this before. See if I can do it. So, if you're juggling, you've got to keep your eyes on the ball. Now, if I start looking at my wife because she's such a beautiful lady, you get the idea. You know, I sense things are becoming a bit more difficult for Christians in this country, and I think that over time our faith is going to be tested. But when I hear that 23 million prescriptions have been issued over the last year for depression because people have lost hope, I wonder what's happened to our witness. Isn't hope what we offer? Sorry, not we offer, what Christ offers. As a Christian, I trust and pray that I never take my eyes off Jesus, continuing to learn of him and grow in him. Not in my strength, but to let the difficulties be taken care of by Jesus. I hope your prayer will be the same. But isn't this also a perfect illustration of Christ the Saviour? A person lost, drowning in sin, falling under the roughness, caught up by Jesus. Caught up by Jesus to those who call out to him for help. He is faithful enough to forgive our sin and save us. Is that you today? If it is, take the opportunity. In verse 31, Jesus gives Peter a bit of a telling off, doesn't he? You of little faith, why did you doubt? So what's Jesus really saying here? You know, don't doubt me. I know. I'm more than enough for you. Sounds simple, doesn't it? This Christian life. But I question myself. Could I jump overboard to walk on water to Jesus? Would I be one of the lads in the boat keeping out the way? Then verse 33. Extraordinary events bring a natural effect. When they got back into the boat and things calmed down, those in the boat worshipped him and proclaimed him the Son of God. They were scared to death. They'd been through some troubles. They had come through them. Then they worshipped. In summary, what is this telling us? We believe we are stepping out in faith. We believe Jesus is leading us and has a plan for us. I urge you to keep your eyes on him so that his power might be shown to those we know and that our worship of him may increase.